Good morning, everyone. Now, this morning I would like to just give you an overview of the CRC movement in missions, beginning with what they do globally, and then what we as a Grow Church do and are involved in with the missions, and also then what we could do individually as we can support the missions. Have to work it first. So, why we exist. So it's an overview of why CRC movement exists in the missions. And it's a prayer that would have a place, a presence in every nation by the year 2045. And so the vision is to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ in every country, because after all, that's what he came for. He came that everyone will be saved. And people need to know about him. People need to learn. And the way that they will learn is if we send out missionaries and if we're involved in missions. It's also promoting Christ-glorifying Christian communities, which outwork the miraculous and character-transforming ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's just to do with, in Acts 2:42 to 47. We produce Christ-following disciples who seek to obey the Great Commandment and Great Commission, which we find in Matthew. So Jesus did say, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. And so that's what the CRC movement is all about, is going into all the world, making disciples. And sending people out to be that part that Jesus has called us to be. So how do we do it? We outwork our mission through two unique avenues. And so this morning I'd just like to just show you that the CRC are involved. It's got fields that are already established where they have organisational structure involvement. So they already have a part in churches overseas. There's always already fields that missionaries are involved in, already churches that have been planted. And so that's what it is to be established field. The missionaries are active in service and often compassion works such as children's homes, etc. And that's what I found out when I went to the Philippines. I got to see firsthand what it was to have our involvement in the mission fields. I got to see firsthand the children's homes and what we support over there. And the second part is partner field. Now, CRC movement wants to be a part of every area in the world, every nation. So these are parts where humanitarian aid, providing leadership, supporting and training national leaders. It's just as we come along and partner these people over there, these programs over in certain countries. So they're seeking to work beside them and to help them in these endeavours. So that's a part of what CRC movement is all about. They're, not only in established fields, but also partnering with others that not necessarily supported by the church, but maybe do by their own efforts, by their own ways. So like I said before, our goal as a movement is to have a presence in every nation by the year 2045. That seems a long way off, but that is something that can be achieved, I know, and that's the vision. So we know that there is only so much that we can do as a movement, and that as an autonomous or independent churches, many of us are already active in other countries and we are looking to become partners with them in the work that they are doing. So here we have an overview of just where the CRC is involved in the countries. There's just different countries that we are serving at the moment. And this is where we want churches that are making an investment into mission and into ministries. So overall, you know, we want to see every nation be touched and CRC to be involved in every nation. And these are the countries where CRC is planning to begin their ministry and missions. And in some places they may have already started. Yes, but this is where we want the involvement, and I'm sure that that will be fulfilled. So our involvement, our Grow Church involvement and support in missions. We actually support two missionaries, two ladies, and we support by giving them financial means. I think it's about $200 a month. So these are just one of the ladies that we support, and she's a secretary to Pastor Silverback, Pastor Barry. And then another one, Rosalind. We also support the Philippines, and that's been a really integral part of our church as far as supporting people there. Most of you are aware that recently we went to Philippines as a team, and there we were able to support physically and spiritually Pastor Alan and his family in the outreach programs over there and the feeding programs, and that was really good to see and good to be a part of as a team. And there's just, you hear about what they are doing over Philippines or even overseas anywhere, and you think, oh yeah, it sounds really good, but just to be a part of it, it really helped me to be aware of, you know, how we are as a church praying, financially supporting. It's just really to see it firsthand. It's really good, and I just encourage you in that as we bring that news back and as we talk, you know, around those things, that, yeah, it's just important that these things are happening, and we're over here, we live in a great country, but these things are happening overseas, that that, you know, they're reaching out, even though they're a poor country, to those people around that are even without. So we also support Coins for Missions that the children collect each week, and they go to the Bible College over there. So when you see the children running around, it's such a blessing to see where those coins are going to go to. So this is just a slide of where we actually went over the Philippines, over in Cebu, and Pastor Alan and his wife Clofi do a great job in supporting and outreaching in the church there. One of the other areas we support is taking gifts over there, and that was a really blessing. I know it's been spoken in the past weeks before, but Tina and John did a beautiful job in creating and making those toys and the colouring books. Yeah, bless them. Yeah, and the children, as you can see, they were wrapped to receive those gifts. So bless you both. Yeah, such a joy. Yeah, they're just the children to have these things when they don't have anything. There's no dolls at home. There's nothing, and these children just received those gifts. It was a very precious thing to see. Yeah. So now I'm going to take and just stop this PowerPoint here, because we would like to do an interview with Raj and Dorini. They went over to the Philippines, and God really touched them, and as he did all of us, but I just think it'd be a great thing to hear what they have to share and how God really touched them. And so if you'd like to welcome Raj and Dorini to the stage.
Hello, everybody.
So, you know, Raj and Dorini are the married couple, and but God, I know, has been touching them individually as well as a couple. So when did you first realise that God was calling you to mission work? You can answer it separately and then maybe even as a couple.
I think I knew about 6-7 years ago that this was something that was going to be part of my life. That I didn't just come here to sit here and be comfortable. But I didn't accept it because it was really hard. And I knew that I didn't have, or I thought I didn't have anything to give to anybody. So it's been a journey to get to saying, yeah, it is part of my life and it will be part of my life to be some kind of missionaries.
Before I became a Christian, I wanted to go back to Sri Lanka. I tried everything I can, and it didn't work out. Then I became a Christian. And once I became a Christian, I go to church every Sunday asking God, can I go? Can I go? Every day I ask God, you know, every Sunday I go, God, why can't I go? So I knew I want to go, so always in my heart. And so I couldn't figure out when I met Darini, she wasn't really into it at that time. Going back, I said, nah, not really. So, yeah. So I sort of always in my heart for a long time. It's just a frustration not happening. No, I didn't see it for years, many, many years. It could possibly can happen. So
that's individually. So as a couple, when did you realise that you were both meant to serve or grow?
In Philippines, it just made it very clear, crystal clear, all the words that God spoke over the years, and through many people God spoke, bits and pieces, but everything came together. So my entire Christianity sort of lined up in Philippines.
Okay, so speaking of the Philippines, what did you learn while you were on the mission trip?
I think the main thing I learned was that God only wants a willing heart and He does the rest, that I didn't have to be a preacher I didn't have to have this extra talent or to be able to speak or share. I didn't have to know the Bible inside out, but I just had to be there. And God always said, just take a risk and you walk and I will do the work. And that's what I learned there, that all my fears and every doubt I had, it just didn't exist. So that's what I really learned. And the need, and it opened my eyes a lot too.
And would you like to say something, Raj?
I learned that I can't run on testimonies for a long time. I've done two testimonies and I did manage to speak once, like sermon, I did. But it's all right, I came off Philippines, but next time I really have to.
So will you be looking at long or short-term missions in the future?
At the moment, we're looking at short-term. And I was going to say, I don't think I'll ever do long-term mission trips. But I've learned never to say never.
Yeah, definitely short-terms. One other thing I told Darini when we came back, that it's important that we go small steps into it. We can take a big step and come back, so forget it. You know? It is not... Once you are in the field, I went to Sri Lanka for a month, 2005. End of it, I said, that's it, I want to come home. You give everything you can, you're on the run. It's important to get immune to its smallest steps.
So you're speaking of Sri Lanka. Is that one country that you think you're being called to?
For the time being, yeah. For right now, it's in my heart so much. I would go. That could be our main area where we go. But I'm not surprised God take us to other places. It's just like Philippines. I never dreamed about going to Philippines. So many more places.
Okay, so when is your next trip?
Next year, we pray.
And do you have an idea where?
To Sri Lanka, yeah.
Is being Sri Lankan, I guess, something that is drawing you back, or?
I think having come from a country like Sri Lanka, I think it's given me a heart for missions. I didn't necessarily want to go back to Sri Lanka, but as I grew in God, God spoke a lot about Esther and how she was lifted up and she became a queen, but it was for a purpose, that she was there to save her people. And I felt like, for me, it was God brought me from Sri Lanka and he saved my life from there, and then he brought me into his kingdom, and that's for a purpose. So I think, yeah.
Raj, do you have anything else to share?
Just pray for us. It is important that we are sharing in the church, because when it happens, it's exciting for everybody. And how it's going to happen is another thing. Nobody knows it. I don't even know. But it's important to pray and lift us up. Oh, you know, when we are going or if we are there. And it is our dream, so it will come true. And I just want to say this to young people, that it's been my dream for a long time. And I struggled, that I didn't see it coming for years. It's been a struggle, so I'd never give up on my dream. The things God said, I knew. God gave me so many things. Over the years, God told me so many things. At one point, I was asking God, I've followed you, all these things, God, but I don't see anything. I was so frustrated, God, you know. I've followed you to the point you called me along this path. I haven't seen any fruits at all. And to me, like, it's just devastating. I was angry at God. I was struggling. But looking back now, I do see all the fruits along the way. So for the younger people, it's really good to have a big dreams. I really recommend to have good dreams and big dreams, and God will bring it to pass. But maybe not in your time, according to the way you fit the dream to fit in, but it will happen in different times. But you've got to allow God to work. So that's the big thing that I learned over the years.
Thank you, Raj and Dharini.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
I know I had an opportunity to spend quite some time with them over that week in the Philippines, and just to see them grow and just to see them really come to know where God was calling them. It was really a special time. As in each of us, we did grow. So I just want to talk a little bit about the coins for missions. Each week, the children in our church eagerly run around and collect those coins. And these coins go towards students attending the Philippine School of Ministry. And that provides the accommodation, food, study and material for them. But without support, those students wouldn't be able to participate in that School of Ministry. And this has been open. This is a relatively new building over in the Philippines. It's been open for about 2 years now. And it's just such a blessing to be able to go there while we're over in the Philippines and just to see what the work that CSC are doing over there. So while we're in the Philippines, we were privileged to celebrate with the students that had finished their 2-year course at the Philippines School of Bible of Ministry. And these students have studied for 2 years and now they're seeking God's guidance into what or where they will be doing their service for Him in the future. And these students that are studying, there is some more that are studying now. I think they've got another year or so to go. I'm not sure. There's some another influx just afterwards. But unfortunately, the money, the coins that we have been collecting for them, it might not be enough so that the next influx of students, there mightn't be any because they need extra financial support. So this is a slide of the 6 students that actually graduated. And they were really well supported. I remember looking around and just all the family involved and how each one of them was brought down to the stage or to the area and just supported by a parent or a friend. And that was really encouraging to see that they actually have that support. And it was good. Pastor Chris actually commissioned the students afterwards, which was, I know it must have been a blessing for him. It was just a really blessing that our team could offer that to the students because they know that we actually support them and it was just a blessing that we could be part of that. Now I'd like to invite Pastor Mike and Shirley up to the platform, and they're going to give a little talk on what they're doing in Africa.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I really enjoyed the word Pastor John brought this morning about being light. And that's actually what I had already, that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also said, that's in John and in Matthew, he says, you are the light of the world. Every single one of us who's a Christian is the light of the world, where you are. And that backs up what Pastor Chris was saying. Everywhere we are, wherever we are, that's where our mission field is. Because our heart is to go to Uganda, but it's here too. Wherever we are the light of the world, aren't we? Because otherwise they're in darkness. And we can't be selfish about this light. Anyway, there you go. Don't hand me the microphone first. Oh. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen?
Thanks, darling. Yeah. Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has long ago prepared that we should walk in those things. That has been a scripture that we have had in our hearts for the 28 years and plus that we've been married. And it's something that God gave us many, many years ago. And we've always tried to do that. And we've always tried to persevere and to hold to that no matter what. God has these things for all of us, every single human being, young and old, that he's got these things already set out for us. I know God has a wide paddock for us to walk in, but there are still things that God wants us to do and wants us to be. And everyone's got a particular peculiar bent. You know, we're all inclined to do something naturally internally within us. Some of us are called to minister, some of us are called to be missionaries, some of us are called, praise God, to be musicians, some of us are called to do this, some of us are called to do that. Follow it. Hallelujah. Do it. I just want to read one scripture that is really means a lot to me. It's Psalm 110, and again, this happened years ago, and I've held on to it ever since. Psalm 110, it says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." You know, God said to Jesus, "You sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And to me, that's for the church. We are God's instrument to subdue the enemy, to subdue this world, to subdue this creation to Christ, for Christ to put his feet down and just have a rest. He's already sitting. He's just got to have somewhere to put his feet up. And there are enemies out there that God has got for you and for me to subdue. Creation, Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, the creation to the fall talks about the fact that we were designed for leadership. We were designed as male and female, as human beings, for leadership. God gave us this planet to subdue, the whole creation to subdue. Yes, the enemy has come in and distorted it. So God, through Jesus, has taken that back. The authority that the enemy took away from Adam and Eve, he's now given it to the church. He says, "Church, you go out there and you begin to rule. You begin to rule." There's no difference here in St. Albans, Bendigo, where we've just been, or I don't know about Tanzania. We've got opportunities to go to Tanzania. But Uganda is where we want to go to. And the next verse goes on and says, "The Lord will send out the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies." Jesus is ruling in the midst of his enemies, and we are his instruments of rulership. Hallelujah. If we can grasp that, you know, that's another story. Then it goes on and says, "Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power." I want to be his volunteer in the day of his power. What do we want to do? We want to go to Uganda, and we'll start with Uganda anyway. I don't know why that, but it really fits. It's really comfortable. It's like being in love again, you know. You've met this girl, you know, but just where it really just seems so good. And we want to go and live in Kampala, which is the capital city, and potentially work with other people, African Action, which is John and Jean Leake, out of Warrigal. They initially invited us. And we want to be involved in planting churches. We don't want to do it on our own. We want to do it with the locals that are already over there to plant churches. But particularly for me, I want to heal the sick. Now, have you guys got a mission statement? Hands up who's got a written mission statement. A personal written mission statement. Can you say it in one sentence? I want to preach Christ, heal the sick, and help plant churches. Always wanted to do that since the day I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to Uganda to attempt to do those things, trust God to do those things, and we want to heal the sick, plant churches all over the place there. But one other thing I'd like to do is when the churches get planted, is to build some agricultural projects like fish farms or goat farms, and they've got land there that's just not being used. And if we can utilize that I grew up on a farm, so I have a little bit of an understanding of it. And if we can then raise some crops, we can provide money for the pastors, eliminate some of the corruption that goes on. We can employ people inside the church, and at the same time utilize some of those funds to release some of those people over there that really want to go out and plant churches and do these things, and take the pressure off from the overseas churches to have to provide all the funds. So February, hopefully, praise the Lord, we're going. Amen. February 28, bye-bye, I'm going no matter what. Okay, so you... Bless you, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mike and Shirley. So it's good. Yes, they have a mission, and that's it's encouraging. That's really good. Challenging that each of us should have our own mission too, to go and do what God has called us to do. Now we're going to break up into groups to have a time of prayer. So I'll ask the home group leaders to just get into an area, and just the ones that you're in that group for the home group leader. Does it make sense? Just get into your groups. If you are not in a home group or you're new to the church, just feel free to join one of the groups, and we'll have a time of prayer for the missions. I have some notes or points up here that you can look up and just pray about. Okay, so... if we can have the home group leaders, maybe if they can come out the front and then go to an area. So if we can have Pastor Chris in closing prayer. And I'd just like to thank you for this opportunity just to share with you what the movement, the CSE movement, is doing in the missions. Thank you.
Well done, Karen. Let's bless Karen. She's done a fantastic job. Organised all this morning yourself, so bless you, Karen. It's been fantastic. And just bless you for your heart in coordinating the missions and the life of the church. And look, it's so important. We're called to be an apostolic centre as a church, and it means that we're looking far beyond ourselves. And every one of us needs to be living and looking beyond ourselves. I just want to read a scripture, then we're going to close off in prayer. So bless you, Karen. A couple of scriptures. One is, remember that every one of us is to be involved in global missions. Mission starts at your front door. It starts at the people actually within your own home who don't know Christ. You open your door, and then you've got your neighbours, and you go to work or to school to study, whatever you do. The people who don't know Jesus Christ, we need to be able to tell them. And as I said on the front of the newsletter today, it's the great commandment. It's not the great suggestion. It's a commandment. And it's not a choice of, oh, look, I don't know if I can. No, you're commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to go. And it says in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Holy Spirit weekend for Alpha, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it's not, well, I'll get everyone saved at home and then everyone in my street and then the whole community is saved and then all Melbourne's saved and all Victoria, all of Australia are calling on the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and then I'll start going. No, it's simultaneous. It's not one after the other. It's all happening at once, and it's the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to make this our prayer, just as we're going to pray this morning, as we close off, we're going to go singing and worshipping, praising God. But I just want to read this scripture to you. And this is in Acts 4. It's headed up. It says, the believer's prayer. And on their release, so this is Peter and John, they were in prison, and Peter and John went back to their own people and reported of all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit from the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel in this city, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And now this is the prayer that we need to pray. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Every one of us, God has empowered us by the Spirit of God. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're empowered by his Spirit. We're baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might share boldly. And I encourage you to do that. Pray, yes, but if you pray and you never open your mouth, you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. You never actually go out of your own comfort zone, walk across the room to someone and tell them that Jesus died on the cross for them, that they don't have to have a life that where they don't really know what happens when they die. They don't have to live in fear of death. They don't have to be ones that are just left wondering, what will happen if I died today? They don't have to live like that. They have to know that Jesus Christ died for them to take away their sin, to give them life, eternal life, the full life that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we need to go and we need to speak. And my prayer is that we speak boldly. So Lord, as we are here this morning, Father, let's just stand as we pray. We're going to close in just a moment. Father, as we're standing here before you, Lord, we've been singing this morning about, here I am, send me. And Father, prophetically, Lord, under the inspiration of your Spirit, Lord, we turned around and we're looking at that door, Father, and said, Lord, when we go out into our mission field, well, Father, we're not just doing those things, Lord, because they're nice things to do. But Father, the things that you stirred by your Spirit in our hearts. And Father, I pray, Lord, even as we've sung, here I am, send me, Lord. You've already sent us, Lord, and you're sending us out, Lord, with the commission, Lord, to tell people that Jesus loves them, that they have hope, that they can have the promise of eternal life. And Father, I pray, Lord, let us go boldly, Lord. Enable us, Lord, that we will step forth boldly, Lord, and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. People in our own homes, people that are relatives, people that are friends, neighbors, workmates, schoolmates, Lord, people that we meet, Father. Lord, let us speak boldly about the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus today, Lord, they've never asked Jesus into their life. Lord, they've never found the reason what they live, which is because of Jesus, Father, I pray this day they will come into your kingdom. Father, we rejoice with that young girl, Dita, Lord, who gave her heart to the Lord last week. And Father, I pray, Lord, that many more will come and say, yes, I need Jesus in my life, even this day. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, bless us, or let us speak your word boldly. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing, Lord, right across this earth. And Father, that we have, as a people, have a part in all of that. We thank you, Lord, that you choose ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.